topic today, since this is Parsha Shemini, so there are multiple Yisurim in Parsha Shemini which deal with the prohibition of eating insects. So I just want to talk about it, going through all the practical ways of checking for insects. It's very hard to discuss. It's much better to do it on hand, hands-on, which we're not going to do. Maybe you understand some of the halachic concepts behind it. So there's a little different shiur than usual, which is more halachic lemaisa. This is going to be some of the halachic concepts behind it. So to when you hear the psalm, you'll have a better understanding of what it is. Before to start the shiur, I just want to freak you out a little bit with two things. Number one, this is a broccoli florette all the way to the top, magnified multiple times, and that's just a beautiful little
broccoli.
This is a broccoli, yeah. So you can picture how many times it's magnified. This is a little thrip inside there. You just started eating, so that's now. But even freak out even more. So the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has what's called defect levels, and they have a defect level handbook. So they allow, they have what's called an action level, which means if it gets to this point of problem, then they would have to recall this food, etc. Otherwise, they allow it to go through. And they have, so the issues with HRS are not just insects. There could be issues of mold, rot, etc. But they also discuss insects. So, for example, if you buy Brussels sprouts, which are frozen, so the action level for insects is an average of 30 or more aphids and or thrips per 100 grams. So it reaches that point, according to the USDA, they can sell it, and that's not a problem. They don't have to recall it. So even though if there's only 29 aphids in there, it's fine. When you hit 30, that's what they get per 100 gram, which is not a very large measure at all. Okay. Now, sometimes they talk about pieces of insects. That's, they also talk about the rodent filth, etc. They have all these little things that you read about, and you wonder, why in the world am I eating food in this country? I do want to point out that insects are high in protein. So on the ships, which one of the problems they had historically was that, the ships, the food they bring would become wormy, etc. They encouraged the sailors to eat them because it was high in protein. This is a historical fact. Here's some examples which the Wikipedia pulled out just to give you an idea of what level of they're allowing this type of things. I'll pass that around.
Level of what?
Of different types of things they're allowing in our food.
Have you ever seen that? Is it kosher book? In the back. It's the only book I've ever seen that has a comma from the FDA saying all the information is correct. And in the back it lists all these horrific things that they permit in our food up to the levels. It's really...
Okay. So now, the Torah prohibits eating bugs. That's very obvious. If you see a bug, you shouldn't be eating a bug. None of us are picking up bugs and eating bugs. right? Of course, the challenge is... And the truth is, we're eating bugs all the time because there's microorganisms which we don't necessarily see, which we're constantly ingesting. That's clear in halacha. That's not a problem because it's not visible. It's not going to be a problem. What about something which is small enough that it's not clear that it's a bug, but it's large enough that it's clear that it's there? I see a very little white speck or a little black speck, but I can't tell that it's a bug without pulling out some type of a magnifying glass, and then I see the little legs and a little bit of things. But I can clearly see the item. So this is a machlokes amongst the poskim, whether that's called visible or not. The standard operating procedure of many poskim is to say it is considered visible. So one of the examples is the copepods, the copepods issue which they have up in New York, and the drinking water, which is allowed, another example of an organism which is allowed in our... You can actually see them if you will. You'll take your faucet, and you put a filter over it, a good piece of cloth around the water, tie it on, let it go for 5 minutes, shake it into a cup, hold up to the light, and you will see little white specks. You can see them, but you won't necessarily recognize that that's a bug until you look at it, unless you have very good eyesight. So that most of them is considered visible. Okay, what about if it's inside my food? So can we argue that it's bottle? So this is a machlokes whether that's that we can discuss bittul, because anytime we discuss a concept called bittul, Bittul only works when you have a mixture. If I have three pieces of bittul beroy, so I have three pieces of beef. Two of them are kosher. One of them was not shechted properly. So all three are beef. They look exactly the same. Two are kosher. One's not. So it's a minerais. This accounts for culpa to beroy. If I take three pieces of meat, two of them are beef, one of them is pork, it's not bottle, because I can see that. I can see what it is. Okay, so I don't pick up my broccoli and automatically see that gorgeous picture that I sent you around. I don't necessarily see it wherever it is on the table. Where
my broccoli?
I don't necessarily see that, but if you open up and show it to me, it would be considered visible. Is that considered that there's a din of bittul or not? So the Chacham Zadim says no. That's considered there's no din bittul because it's visible. You might have to take a step or two to get to that point. The Aruch HaShulchan actually argues and holds that it is bottle, and because right now it's not visible. That's once it's not visible, it's part of a terubis. There's a concept of bittul b'roi. So the rice would be mutter. Rabbanan everybody agrees that it's also because it's a barrier, and a barrier is not bottle. It's fully intact. It's not going to be bottle. So everybody agrees that it's usser. Who do we paskin like the Chacham Zadim or the Aruch HaShulchan? It depends who you ask. And actually, there's different kashrut organizations in America have different ashitas on that. We pass them like, oh, you actually is machlof like the Chacham Zadim. The Starkei actually holds like the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, yes. So either way, it practically doesn't. I'll give you the one example where there's a practical difference between the two. Okay, now, do I have to check my food for the possibility that it's there? So what are the lochos? So something which is called muksik b'tiloyim. Muksik b'tiloyim means that this produce is been checked multiple times, and every time we check it, we find bugs. That's considered muksik b'tiloyim, and that's a chi of the rice that you can't eat it. You know that there's something there. That's a roif telling you that there's something there. It's a form of a roif.
What's the expression again?
Muksak b'tiloyim. It has a chazaka that there's tiloyim there. So the roif would tell me that the roif is telling me the nature of this is telling me that this is what happens. So that's the key of the rice. I have to assume that there's a bug there. I can't eat a bug. According to Aruch HaShulchan, it'll only be the Rabbana. According to the Chacham Zadim, that'd be the rice. But I know that it's there. But according to Aruch HaShulchan, even if you know it's there, but it's bottle because it's a taru and it's a rubis. I know that there's a piece of non kosher meat there also, but it's still bottle. Either way, you can't eat it. Let's say it's 50-50. So according to Chacham Zadim, it's a sake of the rice or the chumra. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, that'd be an interesting question. What the status is? We'll hold off on that second. Let's say it's less than 50%. I check it, and I'm not finding that's so. What's the locha? So there's something in a locha called what's known as a miyut hamotsui. It's a miyut. It's less than 50%, but it's common that it happens. It's not uncommon that it happens. How much is that? Of course, is machlokes in the monks of Poskim. The Mishkanos Yaakov, who was probably considered, according to many, the prime Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, has a tshuva which he talks about it, and he says he holds it 1 out of 10 times, 10% is sufficient to call miyut hamotzer, and that most poskim go with that shear. There are shear which are more makel and say it's 10% is not a problem, it's 20%, 30%, 40%, etc. If it's less than miyut hamotzer, so miyut hamotzer chazar masakim rabbanan, you must check for that as well. That's what we check for the possibility when an animal shechta, we check for the possibility of the trephis in the lung. We don't check some shlachters will check the intestines, etc., very cursorily, very quickly as well, because after they shechta the animal, they cut it open, they take out the whole entrails in that whole area. Some boitkin will look that over very quickly, but the lungs are checked more thoroughly. Why? Because the trephis in the lung are miyut hamotzer, they're not a roif. There are 18 trephas, which the Rambam breaks down, 18 categories of trephas, which the Rambam breaks down, the 70 different trephas. We check for one of them. What happened on the 69? On the 69, you're not going to check for them because they're less than a mir amotsu. If you see indication that there's a problem, then you'd have to check for it. If somebody took the chicken and he threw it against the wall before he shechted it, you better check that there's a problem over there. But we don't check the lungs of a chicken because we don't have that level of miyut hamotzer. We check the lungs of animals. Within that, there are sometimes, actually, it's interesting, you talk to shechtim and they will tell you that when they get the shipment of the animals, they ask where it's from and they'll know what to expect. You get shipments from areas which are more highly polluted, there's a high level of trephus in the lungs. You get places less polluted, and you go to certain areas where there's very little pollution, the chances of finding trephus from the lung can be 5 to 7%. You go get stuff from areas around Michigan near the car factories, it can be 30%. So the change is based on that. So that's called Mira Motzi, and we have to look for Mira Motzi. Mira Motzi has a kula. If you get to the point where it's impossible to check, so you say broccoli, call them our broccoli over here. It's a Mira Motzi, it's not a roi, but most scenarios that it's there. So they made a broccoli cooker, you didn't check it. So you go to your mother-in-law and she makes a broccoli, she didn't check it. Are you allowed to eat it? Yes. The only mechayev you to be boidikit if it's possible to be boidikit. It got to the point where it's impossible to be boidikit, they weren't mechayev to be boidikit. If it'd be roiv or mechsel, it would be awesome. Okay. Let's say you have a type of a cucumbers. Cucumbers, you know, they're considered muksuk noki. It's a mish and a motzi. Muksuk noki. They don't produce. You're not finding bugs in that. You checked one cucumber, second cucumber. That, you know, last three times you checked, you looked at a cucumber and there was a bug there. So the halacha is that in that situation, now this becomes muksuk betuloyim. It's established that this, whatever reason now, is muksuk betuloyim. Now when we say one tenth. The biggest challenge of one tenth is one tenth of what, right? It's a very, very challenge. What's one tenth, right? So, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, so Reve in his sefer, this is the English version. The Hebrew version has the footnotes. The English version just has like the good glory pictures, and the halachas, the basic halachas. He has a long arichus about this issue. What's the definition of when you find one tenth of what? Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal said that it's one tenth. Let's say you're talking about heads of lettuce. It's 10 heads. If I check 10 heads and one of them I find a bug, that's 1 out of 10. So that now is a Mira Motzi. Rav Herschel Schechter in YU says it's 10 portions. Rav Yashiv held it was 10 portions. So for the normal amount, I normally serve 3 or 4 leaves of lettuce. That's a portion. So I check 30 leaves or 40 leaves of lettuce, right? I don't find any bugs. I might find in 10 heads, but I didn't find it in these. So it's not called, it's a mishen amotzi. It's less than one tenth. So according to that by making the portion smaller, you're making it much more lenient. Theoretically, I could have went to say per crate, right? You know, I get a crate of 50 heads of lettuce. So, like, you know, if 500 heads of lettuce, I found the bug. It's called, you know. So you have to find the shear. We don't go with crates. There's an argument. Some poskim suggest an argument that, you know, what's the argument? Why a serving? Because I have a chiyuv. Every time I have a serving, I have to worry: is there a bug here? The answer is well. In the 10 that I've checked, I haven't found any. So it's not a Mira Motzi. Well, maybe I should go by bites. Each time you take a bite, you need to know, are you eating an Isser or not? So 10 bites, there's no Isser. It's not a Mira Motzi, which would make it even more kuladik. Right? So do I have to filter the water in New York? So the Mechloik is amongst the places we have to filter the water in New Yorkers. Do I measure based on servings per meal or gulps that I take of water? So if in 10 gulps, I don't find, normally we'll find a copa pad, so then I don't have to check the water. I don't have to filter the water. If in 10 cups or 10, let's say your argument said you need like 2 cups of water per meal, so then I would find it. You would have to filter the water. That's where that machlokes comes. You have to get the different opinions on that. And that's not, you know, it's not, you know, someone writes, he says there's no clear right to this question. That he said it goes by 10 heads. He said there's no clear right to, please. Okay, to this question. One of the eights which we come besides checking is cleaning. So the same way we can make something muksa b'tiloyim, we can make something muksa not b'tiloyim. If I have a system which I've checked, used multiple times and checked it, and I find that it removes any bugs, it means I start with something which I know is infested, and I do this process, I find after that there's no bugs there. That's the same way that I can get a chazakah to make, create a problem, I can get a chazakah that can remove the problem. Let's say, for example, so now you get the star K lettuce, it has, you know, once in a while, you know, a dole has, it has the stamp on it. Someone doesn't have the stamp on it. What's the issue? because they constantly check based on infestation levels. They check to see if the washing process is working, and sometimes it doesn't. So that run will not have a star case stamped on it. All right. What do? They take random checks of what they're doing, of the checking, and they keep, you know, and if they, based on their random checks, they see that it's. So that's how they. That's how the system works. So that they're trying to find a system which works. The same way you give the guidelines for checking at home or guidelines for cleaning at home, they've done the system multiple times, etc. Now, what's interesting is there's something called bodek. What does bodek do? So, anybody who's in the agricultural business, which I'm not, but anybody who is, will tell you that infestation levels depend on moisture, shade, and the country. So I can have within the same country, the same state, the same field. Part of the field is very shady and very moist, will have much more bugs, and the part which is very sunny and dry. I can have a part of the field which is open to a lot of winds, and it's going to be, the insects are not going to be gathering there in the same levels as the area where it's more protected and there's less wind. So they actually, and because of that, the USDA. Because they have to trace back any type of infestation, the possibilities of bacteria, etc. They will mark when a field is harvested. They will mark the parts of the field separately, and they can trace it back to the eventually whatever is being delivered will be traced back to that number. And each number, each one of the, as it's done, as it's coded with a code. That code is very specific. So the company like Bodek, what they'll do is they'll find, let's say we want broccoli, whatever it is. Places they know what are optimum levels of conditions for growing it, which will create miyuchen and motzi type of broccoli. And they will find those places, and they will go buy them, and they will test them and buy them. And if based on their research, I believe in the country X and these type of fields, we're going to get very good broccoli, which is not problematic. They'll go there, test them, and if they like it, they'll buy them. So not necessarily, you know, not growing any of their own, but they're doing research. What are the conditions which are beneficial and for this issue, and tracking it down across the world, you know, whatever, and that's what they're doing. That's how the system works. And once in a while, and then you might have during the times of the year it'll change. There's more rain, less rain, more windy, less windy. Everything, and then they have to constantly review it. Example, which I was reading the. Cranberries and blueberries is New Jersey is your top producer of blueberries. So there's a special report for the blueberry infestation for the farmers, because they have to keep track of what type of bugs are there to know what type of pesticides to put down. Every week it's updated, and you'll see the levels change constantly throughout the summer. You'll see constant different. Every week there's a special bulletin put out by the New Jersey Department of Agriculture to address what are the infestation levels for southern Jersey. And they have it all down to a science, so that's what you're looking for. Okay, so that's the idea behind this. Now, what's in one more interesting point is, okay, if you can't check it by me and a mutsu, you don't know I'm going to check it anymore. So I go to somebody which doesn't have the same level of necessarily bedika and care that I have, so I can still eat there. Something which is muslim to loyim, that doesn't help for that. Someone just say metzal wouldn't work for that either, because it's subject to rice. Let's say something which is very, very difficult to check. Doesn't have the same heter. It's not a muslim to loyim. It's a mina muslim, but it's very hard to check. If I were required to check it, I would not be able to eat this item. There's the tircha involved, the money, the effort, etc. involved. It can be done, but very, very difficult. Is that mutter? So many persons say no, but there are some persons who say yes. And this is why you'll see sometimes there are certain types of vegetables which some organizations will allow. And you say, how can they allow that? It's a meat and mutsi constantly. There's no way you can check this. It's very hard to check them. Asparagus is one of the common issues. It's very difficult to check asparagus. To check asparagus, if you really want to check asparagus, you have to take each one of those little florets where it comes off, break it off, and look inside. Now, if you're doing a catering event and you're putting out 1,000 of those, there are 2,000 of those, it's impossible. But you could theoretically check them. Just it wouldn't be worth your time and effort. You could hire 15 mashgichim and have them in for 3 hours beforehand and get it done, right?
You say if you broke every one of them,
what?
broke them all up, but I could eat them.
Well, but then it wouldn't look so nice either. So is that mutter or not? So some organizations will say yes, because that has this din of it's impossible to check. And some will say no, that it's possible to check, just you chose not to, which that you don't have the choice to choose not to. And that's where, that's some of the issues, that's some of them in the background. Okay, I think we'll have to keep track of time over here.
So that case of the asparagus, that's a new hamasui?
Now, there are cases, there are similar arguments, asparagus, you know, asparagus, maybe not, but the cauliflower is a musa b'tiloyim, you know, so that's why, you know, cauliflower is like not such a big, you know, if you're going to use cauliflower, I definitely would push you towards budek. That much I can, you know, well, even if you don't, you want to use budek for other things, if you're talking about that, I would push you towards it. Okay. So that was just again, it wasn't a local maysa. You just tried to do a local maysa, but this is more just understand some of the background of some of the issues that when you hear the different psukim, it doesn't sound like this. They're just making it out of magic, out of their hat. They're definitely not doing that. Okay.